a form of religion, but you've denied very godliness. Over and over again, he said, you do these good things and you do it for show, but your heart is far from me. He told about the centurion whenever he came in and he said, man, or not the centurion, he came in and he said, I'm glad I am not like this poor sinner over there, because I tithe and I fast and I do all these religious things. But at the end of the day, it was bankrupt. There was nothing that was authentic about it. And Jesus said, it is he who is humbled and who humbles himself that will be exalted. And if you look in Isaiah, it comes to them and he starts out by telling them that they think that they are godly and spiritual. In Isaiah chapter 58, he says, cry out loudly, don't hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet. In other words, get this word out. Make it loud, make it known. He says, tell people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Not tell the world, tell the house of Jacob, let them know. Because this is what they are doing. Verse 2 says, they seek me day after day and delight to know my ways. Wait, what's wrong with that? Like a nation that does what is right and does not abandon the justice of their God. They ask me for righteous judgments and they delight in the nearness of God. What in the way? Isn't that the whole thing that we're supposed to be doing? Aren't we supposed to seek him day after day and delight in his ways? Aren't we supposed to do all of this? And I have a feeling that this is said almost tongue in cheek. This is a whole lot of almost but not quite. It's a whole lot of almost but not quite. Did you know that if you tried to call 913, emergency would never come to help you? You could get closer than that. You could call 912 and the emergency services are never going to come help you. 911 is the only real and right number that will end up getting you help. And there are a whole lot of people who have a form of godliness. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians and they look like Christians. They might talk like Christians. They might do a lot more Christian things than some real actual Christians do. But that number's a little bit off. Their faith in God is not right and it's merely a form of godliness while it is not the real thing. And so some translations even kind of insert, not saying that it's scripture, but say that they seem like or it's almost as if. And they have a form of religion. And in fact, verse 3 says, we have fasted, but you have not seen. We have denied ourselves, but you haven't noticed. Look, you do as you please on the day of your fast and oppress all your workers. See, now we're starting to get to it. You who seek after me, you have this form of religion and godliness and all of that. You've got a lot of things that that you seem to be going okay, but it's not really what you claim it to be. In fact, denying yourself fasting, denying yourself food, to fast is to go without to reveal what's within. Like you go without food so that you can have a dedicated time of prayer, dedicated time of seeking God. You go without food because you can live without food at least a few days, but you can't live without God. And so if you go without food, it's a setting apart, it's a dedicating. We're in the Mardi Gras season right now. Right after Mardi Gras comes Lent. In Lent, a lot of people give up chocolate or something else. And it's a way of sacrificing, reflecting Jesus' greater sacrifice, but also a honing in. It's a humbling kind of thing. But for them, they had an external only type of reality. You deny yourself, you do as you please on the first day of your fast. It's kind of like saying, I'm not going to eat anything, but then you drink 3 milkshakes or protein shakes or something else. I didn't eat anything, but I drank a whole lot of stuff today. It's you say, I'm not going to do any work today, so everything that I would normally do, I made my servants do twice as much. It's missing the point. It's an external reality. It's something that's seen, something that's known, but it's not something that is actually on the inside. In fact, you oppress your workers. You fast with contention and strife to strike viciously with your fist. In other words, you do this and you get hangry. Anybody in here get hangry? You get so hungry, you get angry? If your heart isn't in it, it does you no benefit to not eat food. And if you don't eat food and you start getting snippy and cantankerous, if your heart's not in it, if you are simply going without food, without a pursuing of God, without a reflection of God and dedicated to his righteousness, then there's not going to be any benefit. It's all going to be a negative. It's going to be only an external. You can't fast as you do today hoping to make your voice heard on high. Will the fast I choose be like this? A day for a person to deny himself, to bow his head like a reed and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? See, the bowing the head like a reed and putting on the sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth and ashes is talked about in the Bible, and it's a sign of mourning. It's a sign of repentance and a humbling. But this is the idea of, like, they took it to the extreme. I love the dress-up days that they have at school and everything. But even if you're dressing up humble at school, you go out and get the best, the bougie. It like they would get bougie sackcloth. Does that sound weird? Yeah. The sackcloth and ashes would be for show. The sackcloth and ashes would be a visible demonstration. The sackcloth and ashes, it isn't something that, like, whenever God said to deny themselves to fast, he didn't say, and go get your sackcloth and ashes and put it on. Like, this is something that they possibly have added to. Could it be good? Absolutely. Could it be right? Absolutely. Could it point to an internal reality? Absolutely. But for them, it did not. And so it was nothing that was good for them, benefiting them, nothing. And God said, will I accept it? No, I'm not going to accept that. The external didn't affect the internal. You fast and have this external constraint. You fast, you go without food. This external doing is supposed to have an internal resort where you see your dependence on God, you express your dependence on God, where even though you're hungry, you act in grace because it's a response to who he is. He says, look, all of this externalness, what does that even mean? What does that even do? And for us, we're not as familiar with fasting. I'm not going to ask you to show your hands how many of you have fasted or fast regularly. But it's the same way with so much of our religious devotion. This is the once again, I have nobody in my head, nobody's name, but everybody be warned of this. Do you memorize scripture so that you can look good whenever we start our service each week? Whenever you sing the songs, do you look at what you're wanting to look, what people see you at, or is it a heart of true devotion? Whenever we sing words on the stage, is it, or sing words that we are singing, is it your true heart's belief, or is it just something that you're following through? Today, I do this check every week, so in this way, it's not abnormal. But today, whenever they were singing, I thank God. I asked myself always, do I mean it or am I singing? One point I closed my eyes, I thought, do I mean it or am I simply singing? I love that Ty plays the drum. I absolutely love it. And he was doing a great job, and I was, quote unquote, getting into the music. I really like the music, and I had to say, am I just enjoying the music or is it worshipful? And some of you have the complete opposite reaction. And some of you, whenever we got to the end and we started singing a cappella, whenever we got to 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, did some of you say, now I can worship. Now that we've gotten rid of those drums. Now that we've gotten to one of the old songs. Worship is not about how much do I like it. Worship is about praising our hearts to God. Do we have to work to worship sometimes? Absolutely. Do we not have to work to worship sometimes? Absolutely. And so whether you enjoy, whether I enjoy, because I enjoyed that every bit as much also. And when we started singing, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, I closed my eyes. And there was something about the solemnness and the quietness of it. But once again, I stopped and asked myself, just like I did with the drums, am I just enjoying the music and the moment? Or am I worshiping? And we should do that not only in our songs, we should do that whenever we pray. Do we pray to be heard so that we can have the eloquent prayer so that people will say, man, I don't know how you pray like that, or your prayer life's good? Do we do that the way we dress up on Sunday to worship and reflect and honor God? Or do we do it because it feels good whenever people notice that we're looking good today? Do we have a heart that means what we say it means? Or do we get angry when people don't notice how good we're looking today? When we're singing a song that isn't the one that I was hoping we were singing today, are we still worshiping? I'm asking, so I'm putting them on the spot because I sent them a text message in the middle of the song service this morning. I said, hey, I'm going to call y'all back up on stage. And so y'all can be coming on up because I know it takes just a second. And we're fixing to sing I Thank God, and then just the first verse of 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, so that you can do the check that I do every week whenever I'm singing songs. And I want you to stop, and I want you to think, and I want you to ask, am I meaning this? Am I not liking it? And am I not liking it, is it because I'm not worshiping, or is it because I need something else? But I want us to stand, and I want us to worship, and I want us to worship. And I want us to not be those that fast to be seen, but have a heart of worship. So for just a second, let's revisit something we've already been to, but I pray that we'll worship together.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. I tried with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a bag of bones. Just when I ran out of the road, a man I didn't know, he told me that I was not alone. He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior. I thank the Savior, I thank God. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know Thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I'm proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, known for grace to trust Him
more. And that is not, worship is not the entirety, be all, end all of singing. In fact, it is so much more. But just like it's not about fasting, it's about so much more. And whenever somebody gets up and tells you to pay attention to how you're worshiping or words of the songs and stuff like that, did you pick up on anything? I mean, we were singing about how God picked us up and turned us around. We were singing about how we're free in Him. And if that is not, if it's just words that you're singing and you're not free in Him, then that's not worship and it does nothing for you. If you are free in Him, we should gladly be proclaiming it. And the flip side of that is just not about upbeat and fun and having fun and all of that. Is can you pray the simple prayer? It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. And it doesn't have to be about hype and energy and emotion and all of those things. But it is so sweet to trust in Him. Have you proven Him over and over again? What does it mean to prove somebody? A mass proof is whenever you worked it out and you've shown that it's so. Have you trusted in Jesus over and over and seen His faithfulness? But just like fasting is not just about not going without food, about not just doing work, worship is not just about getting into the music or loving the music or participating in the music. It's about so much more than that. It's what's on the inside, because He says, this is not a fast, but this is. Now remember, fasting, I said, is doing without to reveal what is within. He says in verse 6, isn't this the fast I choose to break the chains of wickedness? What does that have to do with food? Nothing. Is this the fast that I choose? Isn't this the fast that I choose? Has nothing to do with food. It's to break the chains of the wickedness, to untie the ropes, to untie the ropes of the yoke, to set the oppressed free. Now, in those ways, it is talking about something that is an internal reality. Because we get tied up, and it can be, we're going to use this first of all. For them, think back, he says, look, you say, I'm going to do without, I'm not going to work today, so you oppress your workers and you pile up more on them. For us that live in sin, as we fast and we say, I've got to do without, I want to read a quote from you. He says, a man shall rule over his sin when he does not prefer it to himself and defend it, but subjects it by repentance. Then shall a man rule over his sin when he does not refer it to himself and defend it, but subjects it by repentance. Otherwise, he that becomes protector of it, protector of that sin, those that defend their sins, those that stand up for their sin, those that make excuses for their sins, shall surely become its prisoner. And so the fast that God wants, the worship that God delights in, that He finds acceptable, that He chooses, breaking the chains of wickedness. God, I'm not going to keep on lying. I'm not going to keep on watching that. I'm not going to keep on spreading gossip. I'm not going to keep on doing the things. Doing without shows what's on the inside. Untie the ropes of the yoke to set the oppressed free and tear off every yoke. This fast that He delights in is from an inside that has been changed, an inside that has been redeemed, the inside that is wholly dedicated to the God of no wickedness, the God of freedom, the God of no oppression, the God who says, come to Me. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Is it fasting about going without? No, it's about having a heart for the hungry, to bring the poor and the homeless into your house, having a heart for the poor and homeless and doing something about it, to clothe the naked when you see him. It's not about having good clothes or wearing the best clothes or dedicating yourself with the clothes. It's about seeing someone in need and having a heart for them. You see, all of the fast, all of the worship that we have directs us to an inward heart that is dedicated and wholly given over to God that shows itself out. That's why simply being able to recite scriptures, they have games. I saw a game on Facebook and I looked at it, and it's all about memorizing scripture to win the game. That's not how you win the game. It's not a game to memorize scripture. It's about having God's word in our heart in such a way that it then manifests and shows itself by the way that we live. It's about having an internal heart that is dedicated wholly to God that then lives itself out. He says, then your light will appear like the dawn, and your recovery will come quickly. Your righteousness will go before you. The Lord's glory will be your rear guard. At that time, when you call, the Lord will answer. And when you cry out, he will say, here I am. See, they want the light, the recovery, the righteousness, the guard, the glory, the answer, the here. They wanted all of that. And they said, look, this is having them the right relationship with God. Now, this is not an easy believism. This isn't health and wealth, prosperity, gospel type of thing in which, hey, if you just dedicate yourself to God, you're going to be a millionaire that lives to the ripe old age of 550, and your kids are going to be angels. That's not what this is about. Look at the book of Job if you need reference to this. But if we are looking, how many of you like to play the game hide and seek? If we are playing the game of hide and seek and you go look for me underneath here, how many of you think that would be a good place to come look for me if we were playing hide and seek? I'll give you a hint. I ain't fitting up in there. There are some places we know that people are not going to be hiding. I'm not going to be hiding in one of the pew racks inside your pew because I don't fit there. And we can say we're going looking for God. We're seeking the face of God. But if we're looking for God in all the wrong places, if we're looking for God in unrighteousness, if we're looking for God in earthly pleasures, if we're looking for God in the ways of this world that are passing away, God does not pass away and he does not inhabit things that pass away. We can't look for God in all the wrong places and question why we can't find him. Now there are times with the littles that we intentionally don't find them right away and hide and seek. Don't judge. But if we're looking for God with all of our hearts, we question, where are we looking? How are we worshiping? How are we setting ourselves apart unto him? Then he goes in on and says, if you get rid of the yoke among you, the finger pointing, the malice speaking. See, what part of a yoke, finger pointing and malice speaking did they think God was going to be delighted with? If you offer yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, if they saw people in need and weren't doing anything about it, did they really think God was going to be delighted in that? Then your light will shine in the darkness and the night will be like day. The Lord will always lead you and satisfy you in a parched land and strengthen your bones. You will be like watered garden and like a spring whose water never runs dry. Some of you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will restore the foundations laid long ago. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, the restorer of streets where people live. In other words, these things that you long for, these things that are really good things, it's not that I'm avoiding them, it's not that I'm denying them, it's that you're looking in the wrong place, you have your heart set wrong. Why am I going to, it's kind of like I went to a training this past Thursday, and the guy was saying, yeah, I go to these things, and people say, we need to multiply our Sunday school teachers and do all of this. And he said, and some of them I look around and like, we don't need more of them. We don't need to multiply that because they're not healthy. Now, I didn't say that. I'm not talking about Eastwood at all. But y'all can readily imagine that. There are some things that are unhealthy that you don't need to multiply. If you have one bad apple, how many of you want to multiply and have five bad apples? If you have one group of, if you have one leader in your church who is negligent and speaking bad about everybody, why in the world would we want more of that? And he's saying, look, you are sinning and you are already running away from me whenever you're seeking me to get what you want. If I give you what you want apart from me, how is that ever going to draw you closer to me? He said, if you keep from desecrating the Sabbath, look back in Isaiah 56 about how that is, and we talked about it last week, how the Sabbath is a dedicating ourselves to God, getting right. So if you keep the Sabbath, if you call the Sabbath a delight, if you honor it, not going your own ways and seeking your own pleasure, if you take delight in the Lord, then I will make you and I will let you enjoy, is what he said. See, there's if our hearts are right, then everything else is going to flow from there. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Get our hearts right with the kingdom of God. When we come to worship, let it be worship that is real, not an external trying to change the internal. It is what is inside is making its way out. And that's what a fast is. It's a doing without to reveal what's on the inside. But they were living a practiced piety, something that they learned. They had an empty worship. Their thoughts were perverted and not going the right way. They were unkind and unjust and living with a falsehood. Oh, but they looked the part. They were a good cubic zirconia, if you will. But it wasn't the real thing. I got a Facebook friend request this week from Johnny Depp, the official page. Y'all believe that about like I did. I deleted, not confirmed. There are a lot of scams out there. There are a lot of pretenders out there. There are a lot of pretenders out there in the church that want you to think that they've got their life together. They make you think that they're wholly devoted to God when the reality of it is far from it. Because chapter 59 kind of fleshes out what we've already seen. He said, look, this is what happens. Your iniquities are separating from your God in verse 2. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he doesn't listen. What are you doing? Your hands are defiled with blood. Your fingers with iniquity. Your lips spoken lies. Your tongue mutters injustice. No one makes claims justly. No one pleads honestly. They trust in empty and worthless words. They conceive trouble and give birth to iniquity. Keeps going about hatching viper's eggs and weaving spider webs and all of the sin and all of the dross and all of the junk that was in their right, in their lives, their work are sinful works and acts are violent in their hand. Their feet run after evil. They rush to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are sinful thoughts. Ruin and wretchedness are their paths. They have not known the path of peace. There's no justice in their ways. And so in verse 9 he said, so because we've got a fake religion, we have no relationship with God while claiming to be wholly devoted in his. Justice is far from us. Righteousness doesn't reach us. We want light, but there's darkness. We live in the night. We grope around blind. We stumble. We growl. We moan. We hope for justice, but there's none. For salvation, but it's far from us. See, a little dabbling in religion. Dabbling in, I hope this is good. Showing up while other people are worshiping, but we are not worshiping, isn't going to cut it. Attending church and getting a certificate for perfect attendance without a heart and a mind that's engaged in here means absolutely nothing. There are a whole lot of things that we can check off the box, a whole lot of ways we can pretend, a whole lot of ways that we can camouflage ourselves. Oh, act like them, talk like them, learn the lingo. Make it seem right, make it seem real, make it seem. But that's just an actor on a screen or an actor in a pew. Once again, have nobody in mind, not accusing anybody, but I'm warning everybody. In this pew right now, we've got some actors and actresses on pews. Jesus warned them. And he said that one day that people would stand before the Father and he would say, I never knew you. That they would not truly be his. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Once again, I'm purposefully not in a suit today. I'm not standing behind a pulpit because I'm not coming down on you and shouting at you and calling you out, any of that. But I am wanting to issue a dire warning to people. We can say that we are wholehearted worshipers when we're only singing the words on the stage without actually meaning it or even reflecting on it. Or even worse, not singing anything because it doesn't fit my ear exactly right. We can say that we are wholehearted devoted to God because, hey, we came Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But nowhere does perfect attendance equal your entry into heaven. It's not like one of those punch cards, go to church 10 times and get your trip to heaven free. It's the relationship with God. And we can dress up or we can dress down or we can do whatever else and we can make ourselves look really good. We can spend time preparing ourselves to come to church, but that doesn't mean that we are prepared for church or we have come to really worship God. And we can say that we have a relationship with God whenever our relationship is only with calling ourselves a Christian or a relationship with a church without actually having a relationship with God, because unfortunately some people do sneak in and join a church without ever actually being a member of the church, meaning not actually being saved. There are people that sneak in. At the end of the day, we can't examine each other's hearts. We can't know what's there. Will there be fruit? Absolutely. And so why do I keep saying things like we need to memorize Scripture? Why do I keep saying things like we need to love one another? Why do I keep saying things like come to church? Why do I keep saying things like join one another groups? Why do I keep saying things like all these things that we want you to do? Because it's kind of one of those all A's are B's, but not all B's are C's, one of those kind of things. Like, if you are a Christian, these things should be evident in your life, and we want you to do those things, but we don't want you to do those things to make it look like you're a Christian if you're not really a Christian. And so it's kind of hard, because with out of one mouth, there's a lot of things I think we should do and need to do and all, but we don't want you to get those with missing Christ, because it's all about Christ. But if we have Christ, He will change us. In today's world, it is hard to know when so many people want to fake things. If you look at AI, you can give it a bunch of descriptions. You could take an AI generator and you could say, make a Christian, and you could give it some parameters to that it would fit all of these details to make a Christian that loves God, looks like God, goes to church, helps people, is beneficial, tithes, prays, reads their Bible, does all of these things. And you could feed that into an AI generator and it would come out with a model looking like what a Christian should look like. But it's not really a Christian, it's an AI generated. And people for all of eternity have done those same things. They've had a list of requirements and a list of specs into it and they faked it without being the real thing. They put makeup on the pig. They tried to dress it up and make it look good. They tried to fit in, but it wasn't real. In today's world, you've also got the whatever terminology, transgender or whatever else, where a man will claim to be a woman and pretend to be a woman and dress like a woman and do things and say they're going to the women's restroom and participate in women's sports and do all of those other things. But I think most of you are like me. You know that they can say whatever, do whatever, it's still a man. And if you are not a child of God, it doesn't matter how you dress, what you call yourself, how devoted you say you are to God. It doesn't matter if you go on mission trips and if you read your Bible and if you pray and if you do all of those things. That's all just window dressing. You still have to know, is that internal reality real and true? We fasted. Did you really? Did you really fast? Did it really show your internal heart condition? Because your real internal heart condition was, y'all serve me. I just want God to bless me, so I'm doing this. It wasn't God directed. It wasn't God focused. And so my warning to everyone today, we need to do a heart check, not just about are we worshiping when we sing. We need to do a heart check. Am I writing a tithe because I want to give unto the Lord? Or am I doing it because I need that tax break, or because somebody might find out I didn't give? Are you here today because you want to gather with the believers of God and you want to embrace them and support them and care for them and do all the one anothering that they're supposed to? Or is it because you want people to see that you came to church today? Do you read your Bible longing to be like God, or so that you can say, I read through the Bible this year? Do you pray to God because you think that He is a genie and, hey, that's where you go to God to get what you need, right? Or because you want to have the relationship with God? See, there are a whole lot of things that are good, that are right, that on surface value, just like whenever we read, hey, you seek after me, you delight, you fasted, and all of these things, and we think, that's awesome. But is it real? Is it fake? Is there an authenticity there? So I close by asking you this morning. Have you asked God to reveal your heart for Him? A heart for worship. Is there a time, not when you've prayed a prayer, not when you've walked denial, those are external realities that you do if the inside is there, but without the inside it doesn't really matter. Have you ever placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and said, God, I'm a sinner, I need you, I am yours, take my life and do with it as you will? Is the internal reality being expressed in the external, or is the external reality makeup trying to hide the ugliness of your separation from God? This morning, if anybody isn't a Christian, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then come talk to me. I can't do it for you, and the prayer that I lead you in, you could repeat after me, but it would still just be words if it's not real in your heart that you are sick and tired of sinning and you hate that you sinned, you hate that you revolted against God, and you want to be different and you want Him to save you. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you say, it matters what you believe and have given your heart to Him. But for those of us that are Christians, there are a lot of times when we have to, I tell you, every week I ask myself, I do that check with the worship. Am I doing it not for show, not because somebody might look over and say, how's the pastor responding to this? But because I need to make sure that I am worshiping God and not just singing along because I like it. Or don't like it, or whatever else like that. And for those of us that are Christians, all of what it is that we do, it is well, it is good to have spiritual disciplines, to do things when you feel like it and when you don't, because you know that it is good and it is healthy. But at the end of the day, are we doing it for God, or are we doing it for man's approval, even if that man is only ourselves, to feel good about ourselves? Let's have a heart check this morning and say, God, am I real or am I an authentic? Am I the actual person doing this, or am I a stunt double of myself that's a fake version so that I can play in the world and do all the cool, fun tricks while still looking like what I say I am? Heart check this morning. Where are you in God? Are you real?